Every Tuesday, we walk you through some of the incredible programming we've got right here on 2SER. Three great shows that make you think, that make you think about sustainability, make you think about digital futures, or today, make you think about health. Jake Morecambe is the host of Think Health. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, back and rested from New York City.
I'm sorry, your award-winning tour of New York City.
Oh, that was pretty amazing.
Big congratulations.
Thank you, and a big congratulations to both Josh Nicholas and Ellen Lee Beater as well, who were winners in their respective categories too. Good news all round.
It is amazing and well-deserved.
Mm.
What are we chatting about today?
Well, I want to paint a picture for you. Imagine the home that you live in now. Might be an apartment, might be a freestanding house. What if your home suddenly began to work against you? For a number of people who live with a disability or people who are in the aging population, this does become a reality. Tasks that were easy, walking up the stairs, going to the bathroom, can all of a sudden become really difficult.
Of course.
And what if you could then change your home to work for you in your new circumstance? So this is actually research being undertaken by a PhD researcher at the University of Technology Sydney, looking at home modification for people living with a disability, because a practice like going to the bathroom, which you and I might take for granted a couple of times a day, that can be really hard for people who are either in the older bracket of our population or for those who find themselves either born with or then moving into a disability at some point in their life.
And currently a home is a very fixed object to a degree. It's very, very difficult to make changes around it.
Difficult to make changes in housing in the inner city as well, where so many of us live in apartment dwellings too. Yeah. There's so many strata regulations that go on, even just the sheer cost of changing something in your house. So I did catch up with Philippa, who undertook her research over a couple of years and spoke to a number of people who were applicable for government subsidy when it came to home modification. And as you'll hear here, she talks about how much it can make a difference for not only the individual, but their family as well.
One of the people who were involved in my study for my PhD had had a spinal injury. So was an adult, a tall man, so it was quite heavy. It was very, very difficult for him to get to the bathroom. He lived in a terrace house. He was exhausted by the time that he'd kind of looked after himself. His wife wasn't able to carry him up the stairs. He hadn't realised how much home modifications were actually going to change his life. He said to me, Philippa, if I had known how much this would have meant, I would have pushed for these changes earlier. And he said to me, the outcomes of that small change, that redesigning of the downstairs of their house, has totally taken the pressure off his wife and his daughters. But not only that, he went from never having gone to the movies since his accident, which had been, I think, 3 years prior, to having the energy, the state of mind to want to go out. So he'd go to the movies, and he said for the first time in years he and his wife have been able to experience those social events, and that's because of a change at home.
Clearly making a huge difference to quality of life. What sort of changes are we talking about?
So it kind of moves beyond, I guess, if you're in a shopping centre, for example, and you go to the restroom and you will see that there is a designated urinal for someone who might have a disability.
Yes.
You'll see handle rails, you'll kind of see bigger access doors. But Philip is actually taking this the next step and looking at what the digital element can do in these environments. Padding of floors,
wow.
Sensory, kind of like, do you know, Internet of Things? Things, IoT. It's like censoring different devices that, you know, I don't know whether or not it captures information about your habits. So say you could collect data on someone who's opening the fridge at 3 o'clock in the morning, or maybe someone who's not opening the fridge or hasn't opened it in a couple of days. That just shows you habits or behaviors that might be changing or have changed over time. To padding on the floors. If someone's had a fall in the bathroom, there's a pressure pad that can sit underneath the toilet, around the bath, around the shower, that could indicate to you, maybe someone's resided there for a period of time. It's really thinking about how we can change the home space for someone and think about it more proactively in ways we haven't before.
It's very smart, and it's a great use of IoT, Internet of Things, which tends to be a little gimmicky and gadgety at the moment. And, you know, I'm just imagining it can be as simple as lights that can turn off automatically, being able to turn off PowerPoints via an app rather than having to get on the floor and do it that way. There can just be really simple things to it, I imagine.
It's funny you bring up the light thing, because my boyfriend actually has just like retrofitted all the lights in his house, and he is of able ability, but he's just doing that because he loves doing it. But the thing with these technologies as well is that they're non-invasive. It's not like someone is constantly you know, monitoring. It's not like you've got a camera in the bathroom to check if someone's okay or might have had a fall. It's non-invasive data collection that's feeding back to a network, feeding back to a carer, a supplier, whatever, to just be like, hey, this is something that has happened, and at least you are recognizing it and can do something about it.
And we're getting homes that are smarter in terms of being able to adapt to your behavior and learn from your behavior. And of course, we've seen out of the US things like Amazon Alexa is just adding really simple voice control that could be such a big changer for people.
The big struggle, though, that Philippa does point out about all of this is when it comes to applying for government subsidy for home modification, whether that be for a younger population, which normally goes through the NDIA, or if you're doing older populations, my aged care, the wait list for this sort of stuff. There is a growing demand for people who want smarter homes. And I guess homes to be able to cater for you and your condition. So if you do apply, Philip is like, there are people sometimes who wait up to 3 years for these home modifications, however big or small they are. But the cruciality of this is that those home modifications need to happen now, because if there's a demand for them, 3 years is way too long to wait. Maybe you will have moved. Maybe you will see no benefit of them in 3 years. So it's about creating awareness about people have growing and changing demands when it comes to the relationship and the mobility they have in their home. And by talking about it, it shines a bigger light on it.
Jake, where can people listen along to Think Health?
Think Health broadcasts out of 2SER on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, but we are also available as a podcast. If you haven't used the podcast app on your phone, it's literally inbuilt, or you can download a free one from the App Store. Any podcast app will work. Just search for Think Health on there and subscribe.
Well, thank you very much. And once again, a big congratulations to the Think team for all their wins.
Big party soon. Ooh. Everyone's invited.
We'll talk more Think programming this time next week.